Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. J. Edgar Hoover has attributed the increasing crime rate in America to two primary conditions: public apathy and moral deterioration of our population. Public apathy, says the FBI chief, is a dangerous condition which attacks man's sensitivity to the difference between right and wrong. There are some who will say that it is not the responsibility of the church to deal with the moral issues of the day, but rather that it is the minister's duty to simply preach the gospel of saving grace through Jesus Christ. However, unless we deal with the problem of sin, along with its ultimate consequences, it would appear that we fail both man and God. And finding that because the church has largely failed to cry out against sin, that we have much of our lawlessness today. It appears that our younger generation in particular are insensitive to the difference between right and wrong, as J. Edgar Hoover asserts. It was Finney, I believe, who stated that the way to convert nobody is by not preaching on specific sin. Rather, men of God in the pulpit should exercise their God-given responsibility in dealing with drunkenness and divorce and delinquency, calling attention to the doom and damnation of all who fail to repent of their sin. It would appear that what is needed today are more John the Baptists, who are not afraid to cry out against the evils of our day. John was fierce in his denunciation of sin. He preached repentance. He called upon the rich to share their wealth. He urged the publicans to be honest in their dealings. To the soldiers he commanded, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse falsely." And to all he declared, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." To the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the important religious sects of his day, he warned, "Flee the wrath to come. Bring forth fruits unto repentance. Put the axe to the roots if there isn't good fruit upon the trees," shouted John. Oh, how many need to hear and heed John's message today. I'm afraid we have too many Sunday Christians who wear their pious robes on the Lord's Day, robes which merely cover the hypocrisy of the heart, the lying, cheating, lustful acts and deeds exhibited during the week. Some have thought that Christ's last message to the church was the Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature. But actually, our Lord's last plea to his church was to repent, to turn from sin. In the book of the Revelation, to five of the seven churches, our Lord urged repentance, a turning from worldliness, lukewarmness, and lovelessness. Dr. Hyman Appleman has observed, "Only as we have conviction of sin can we repent." Dr. Appleman says the majority of church members today have never been deeply convicted of sin, and you can't be saved without first being convicted of sin, for this is the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer, observes Appleman. The drunkard can never be saved so long as he excuses his drinking, contending perhaps that Jesus turned water into wine and therefore drinking isn't harmful. Rather, he needs to have pounded into his befuddled mind the scripture which clearly states, "No drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God." The same is true for those who lie and cheat and steal, who commit fornication. "They shall not see the kingdom of God," is the verdict of Holy Scripture. Why a ministerial association should oppose the posting of the Ten Commandments in our public schools is certainly beyond human comprehension. We might ask, are not men of the cloth called to guide and safeguard our children against the wickedness of our day? Yet we have observed time and again instances where men of the clergy have opposed the teaching of moral principles to our students. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Billy Graham relates how a generation ago we took God out of our educational system and thought we could get away with it. We sowed to the wind and we are now reaping the whirlwind, says Graham. We laughed at God, religion, and the Bible. Many of our educational leaders sneer at the old-fashioned idea of God and a moral code. Well, soon our schools will again be in session. Our children will be thrust into an environment too often dominated by sin and sex. J. Edgar Hoover has called attention to what he refers to as the spiraling wave of youthful lawlessness across the nation. Youth crimes have increased not only in number but also in viciousness. And Hoover refers to the ugly brand of parasite found invading the school playgrounds, the obscene literature today flooding the market so that samples can be found even at neighboring newsstands. Many of our schools have also become targets for dope peddlers, with 1,000 recruits captured monthly. Undercover clubs, or non-virgin clubs as they are sometimes called, featuring lewdness and promiscuity, are to be found in many of our high schools. A noted sociologist interviewed hundreds of teachers across the nation to report on this sex craze, which finds petting rampant in our schools. Young girls forced to quit having been caught in the grip of this snare, declares this sociologist. Never before World War II did youngsters think of petting in school. Now we find it everywhere, on the stairs, in the hall. It's a mania. They pet while they're doing their homework. They say they can pet and study both at once. An Oregon doctor declares, quote, never before in history have children been subjected so young and so steadily to an atmosphere drenched with so many sex stimuli. Well, again, the FBI chief points to another serious cause for alarm and grave concern, that of the advertising and entertainment found on TV and in the movies. Our youth, observes Hoover, are literally bombarded with vulgar motion picture advertisements in some newspapers. Movies all too often make good on the provocative promises of these advertisements, and profanity and obscenity are the main ingredients of more and more screen offerings. We can also see the same results of this degeneration on our television screens, says Hoover. Well, frankly, folks, what are our youth supposed to do? If we adults do not protest the filth of the motion pictures and the trash on TV, our young people must simply take for granted that we just don't care. You've heard the adage, silence gives consent. When on our billboards and in the newspapers, on radio and TV come shocking and repulsive ads, glamorizing illicit sex and sin, whose fault is it when our youngsters go astray? To every mother and father it must be admitted, it is largely our fault for failing to protest and failing to instruct our sons and daughters in the Word of God. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. Judge Healy of the Juvenile Court of Detroit once said, 80% of the youngsters arraigned in my court come from homes in which there has been no religious training. Billy Sunday once remarked, if you want to lick the devil, hit him over the head with a cradle. Training must begin in the playpen, or our children will wind up in the state pen. Oh, parents, if you would succeed in bringing up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, it must be around the family altar. You have no right to plan their future without daily fellowship with the Lord in prayer and around His Word. W.T. Stead wrote, I fail to find that modern society has any substitute for the social benefits which result from this old institution of the family altar. Charles Haddon Spurgeon relates how it was the custom of his mother to explain the Word of God to the children and to constantly seek to ascertain the spiritual state of her family. Ah, beloved, we can't afford to neglect the Bible and prayer and the church, even the prayer meeting, without noticing the effect upon our children. As parents, we need to know of a definite experience of salvation ourselves. We need to know of a total surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ. Then we need to plan the lives of our children just like we plan our business. Some parents may say, I don't think I should interfere with my children's faith. I will let them decide when it comes to religion. Should you be such a parent? Do you decide whether or not it is safe for your children to play with matches or to play unguarded near the water? Then neither should you foolishly avoid such important issues as the moral training of your children, the salvation of their souls. And to any young person listening today, I would urge upon you to receive Christ while you're young. From personal experience, I can testify how Christ coming into the heart and life found that needed guidance and preservation through the Holy Spirit to be led and guided aright. With snares and temptations coming across our pathway, praise God for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit to caution and to warn, to point the way of righteousness. The Word of God urges upon us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Yes, it pays to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ while you're young. This world of sin and crime, what a resistance is there against Satan's temptations and allurements, except for the grace of God bringing us to salvation through Christ. Friends, Jesus is coming soon. And as it was in the days of Noah, we are told, sexual immorality, bloodshed and violence, so would it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Facing the future of judgment, coming tribulation, we would again urge upon you today to turn from your sins and receive Christ. Indeed, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will ye be ready?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.